When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It's April 23rd, 2025. We are living in a post-WrestleMania world, and already the actual happenings of WrestleMania are not the talking point. It's more of the absences around WrestleMania. We are going to talk a lot about that. Leave a thumbs up. Drop a nice fruit emoji. I'm in the comments, me or Kyler, every single day. I think Kate hops on there sometimes as well, talking with you guys. But if you're here right now, by God, let's talk about, we had so many super chats before the show, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I got to go back and like find them manually. You guys showed out, especially our dude Dave Cost. Get in those super chats. Get in those Humper chats. We want to know what you guys specifically want to talk about. That's what this show is, and I'll plug other Q&A methods a little bit later on. But Jimmy, how you doing?
Doing good, Sean. Good to see you, buddy. We got nothing to talk about today.
Nothing. It's going to be a boring day.
There's nothing going on.
Not a lot of topics. obviously, you all see the thumbnail. Having a little fun with that. When Jimmy goes, maybe some people will be mad about that. And I said, come on. Come on, that is literally, it's a line from WWE at this point. I think that CM Punk called The Rock a bald fraud, or maybe it was Cody. What a
number.
Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. If you like this Q&A method, this Q&A format, boy, do I have a deal for you. $5.99 a month, FightfulSelect.com, the leader in exclusive wrestling news. You may say, well, why on earth would I want to pay for that? Because we're the leader in exclusive wrestling news, and it's not just that. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, I did live Q&As ahead and after WrestleMania. We've got a Discord that made a bunch of news this week where I'm answering questions all the time. I'm hanging out in the live chats, and we have select answers articles anywhere between 4 to 7 times a week. But we have a ton of people talking today. I'm going to try to go through the non-Rock ones. Steven says, how do they adjust or fix Cody going forward? Jimmy, I thought the holding the belt and not doing it, I thought that was so lame. Now, maybe he comes out and he says, you know, I sat there and I looked and my daughter was looking me in the eyes and she was saying, no, daddy, no. Maybe there's something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something like that. But
we've seen stuff like this before. Where the baby face has, say, a chair, and he's going to wall. Matter of fact, do you remember Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, WrestleMania 8?
Yeah,
one my sure age. Baby face, and Piper's going to use a weapon, decides not to do it, drops it down, Bret rolls him up, pins him. And it was very lame. And the thing is, how many times have we talked about how WWE has a tendency to not read the room? So it's like they bring Hogan Raw, and everybody's like, that's stupid. Like, he's going to get a bad reaction. And he did. There was a lot of discussion, including between you and I, prior to Mania. Do you think Cena's going to get cheered? And as it turned out,
he did. I didn't think so either. Yeah.
Well, as it turned out, he did. And Cena was getting booed or whatever. Or Cody was getting booed or whenever Cena wouldn't get an offense, he would get cheered for it. And given that, having Cody wimp out with the belt made it worse. But I think they have to have some kind of an explanation. And he did hug his daughter before he went in the ring. They've got an explanation there somewhere. But that whole finish sucked. What else?
And I got to agree with Steven. He had mentioned WWE is a babyface driven company. Turning or making the top face looks weak seems ego driven to me. They have long had, it was worse under Vince, the dumb babyface syndrome thing. And that was that. It's like, man,
for decades
for decades. And I've always pointed to this, Jimmy. One of the best things I ever learned about wrestling was from a Road Warriors DVD. And Road Warrior Animal said, we would constantly shoot down ideas that made us not look street smart. He's like, because a lot of people looked at us and thought we were meatheads. And that's okay, but it's very hard to root for a dumb baby face. And it's true. Nobody wants to root for somebody who's portrayed as dumb, especially when we know Cody is a very smart, brilliant human being.
Right.
So my hope is that there is some sort of creative reason given for this, because I think that they got to do better with that.
There's a lot they need to do. I mean, we need to know why Cena wasn't disqualified when Travis Scott pulled the referee out.
Yes.
There's a lot of things that need to be explained.
We're obviously going to save a lot of the super chats on The Rock for that bit of conversation. Who would you add to Seth and Paul after Becky? I don't know if anybody's going to get added to it.
I think they should. Let me say first, I love it. I think it's a wonderful idea. I look at it like this era's evolution. Braun Breaker's kind of in the Batista role. No,
Who's the Ric Flair?
Amen. Yeah,
everybody keeps comparing it to Evolution. I don't see it.
Maybe. Well, I look at it like this. So you've got the older, experienced one, I guess, which would be Heyman. You've got the veteran top talent, which is Seth Rollins. Braun Breaker's, it's a great position for him. I hope they change his name, but it's a great position for him. I think this should add one more. And the question is, who is it? And Hunter really likes Carmelo Hayes. You know, he really likes Carmelo.
Does he, though?
I think he won the Battle Royal. I don't know.
He's teaming with The Miz.
Yeah, you're right.
He's in the Battle Royal makes you go, does he?
Maybe.
How much have you been doing before that? He should like Carmelo. Carmelo rules.
He came to my mind, and so did Trick Williams came to my mind, too.
Okay, yeah.
But I think they should add one more person, and I know everybody thinks Becky because she turned heel. I don't think they're going to add Becky. I think that there might be one more young up and coming talent that they add. And I would like to see them add a female to the group. I would like to see that. Like a young up and coming women's talent. That'd be good.
BL says, is going on first at a PLE considered to be co-main? On a lot of these big ones, opening the show is becoming something that a lot of people like to do. We saw Jey Uso straight up say once the main event was announced, well, I hope I open then. And I think that was the right idea.
What did Brock Lesnar tell Seth Rollins? Remember that?
Can't remember.
Rollins was wrestling Brock, and they weren't going to go last because I don't know what was going on last. And Brock said, because this is Rollins in a documentary talking about it or in an interview, Brock said, if we're not going last, we're going first. And Rollins was like, that was brilliant. That was the thing.
Yeah, well, Brock wanted to get on his plane and get the hell out of there.
Well, but that wasn't the only reason. It's because he looked at it like in this era in the PLE world, going first sets the tone. So it's almost as important as going last. And so,
Dave Koss again asks, who we add to the Heyman stable, make it like Evolution, only add another upstart or expand bigger with another singles or a second and a tag. Dave, I appreciate you, by the way, you invested big in our show today. So thank you, but I don't want them to be compared to Evolution. I want them to be the group that other people get compared to. Yes.
Right.
The Shield, NWO, even DX to their own degree. Like, it's a lot better to be the Road Warriors than Demolition. I mean, being Demolition's fine, but it's a lot better to be the Road Warriors in that situation. So as of now, I would wait until you can't deny it, because a lot of people think you can just slap the Paul Heyman tag on somebody and it works. What's Ryback doing? What was Curtis Axel doing? Mm-hmm. The Cesaro thing didn't work. Mm-hmm. Just didn't.
But know what? Rollins definitely helps. Yeah. And Braun Breaker's the right guy. He's the right guy. Like, he's a good fit for that group. So I really like where they're going.
What's the deal with Roxanne? She should be called up. I was told she was supposed to come up after the Rumble. And very clearly, the creative elements did not work in the favor for that to happen. And we're going to jump into that right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad do you feel for Bayley? I feel incredibly bad for her. And Dave Koss sent a big super chat that said, I feel they did Becky no favors and left her open for heat. Bayley fans are upset. The turn felt tepid, in my opinion. Could have had Becky return at MSG to a monster pop, return promo, turn on Lyra during the build, IC title match at Mania. Jimmy, there are about a million different ways that this would have been better. Nia Jax was doing nothing at WrestleMania but talking on a roast after she had the best year of her career. Chelsea Green was not on WrestleMania after making the U.S. title. Bayley was not on the show after being the glue of the company. Roxanne Perez, they have had her just lose after a call-up should have resulted in her being put on the same plane as Bayley. They had effectively had two singles wrestlers beat the entire tag division en route to this title match, of which one of those two people did not even wrestle. And then Becky comes back. Becky wins the titles, loses them the next night, which I've got no problem with that element of it. It's just how all the other chips fell, I think, reflected very poorly on the booking, the creative, and the divisions as a whole.
So yesterday I asked you, when did Chris film his interview with Bayley, Chris VanVleet? And you said it was last Thursday.
But I believe,
If anybody hasn't yet seen that interview, first of all, Bayley comes off great, like she always does. She's such a humble
person. She's wonderful.
But if you haven't seen that interview, there's a moment in that interview that was, for lack of a better word, unfortunate, I thought. Bayley was talking about how she feels in terms of stature, in terms of status, that she's under Charlotte and Becky, even though they came up together. She feels like you got Charlotte and Becky up here, and I'm kind of down here. And she explains that one of the reasons for that, she feels, is that if she doesn't like creative, she doesn't complain about it. That was one of the things that she said. And when Chris is asking her about how do you not take these decisions personally? How do you not take tough booking decisions personally? Now, keep in mind, last Thursday, nothing had been announced about Bayley being out of Mania. Right? There hadn't been no injury angle, nothing yet. Bayley says, by the time this comes out, because it didn't come out till yesterday after Mania, she said, by the time this comes out, that's going to be, and then she pauses. And Chris goes, what does that even mean? And it turned out she was obviously told prior to Friday that she was going to be out of Mania. Did you see Hunter at the post-Mania scrum where he smiled and he said, Bayley will be just fine? And I thought to myself, there's a disconnect. I mean, now I'm sure Bayley will be just fine, but there's a disconnect. If Hunter can be in the scrum smiling, saying she's going to be just fine, and Bayley clearly in that interview didn't look like she was exactly popping bottles over it, there's a disconnect, Sean. What are your thoughts on not the fact that they did the change, but just Hunter's reaction to it, at least in the scrum, Bayley's reaction on Chris VanVleet? What are your thoughts on all that?
Tone deaf. It was very tone deaf. How many WrestleManias did Triple H voluntarily sit out when right. he was available and wrestling in his prime? Not many at all. In fact, they would bring him back as a part-timer and wrestle a lot of people. I thought it was very tone deaf. Bayley has been the glue of your division. Who says you only got to put on 6 or 7 matches in a night? Like, who said that? Who said you can't have one pre-show match or anything like that? Like, fans would be absolutely fine with 7 or 8 matches in a night, and 7 or 8 matches in a night would have gotten a lot of those people on the show. There's a TLC match. I think there were 7 each night, but like, I think one of them went 3 minutes or so, but like no pre-show, anything like that. You got the TLC match happening this week. It was very frustrating to watch that unfold. And when you see all the ad integration and all that and all the things that took up time on this show, you're like, really? You couldn't have had a match on here?
And, you know, I want to add, and not that I'm going to allude to anything.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
Bayley voluntarily, at least twice, said that her contract's up in 1.5 years. In the Chris interview, she said that voluntarily at least twice, which could be telling. Now, I see people in the live chat saying, Becky could get heat unnecessarily. I'm not blaming Becky at all. I mean, Becky's not the decision maker, but do you think that is going to be the fan perception?
It is the fan perception.
Really?
It is. And yeah, I had heard from some people like, oh, maybe she wasn't in favor of that, or she didn't seem keen on the idea of Bailey being taken off. I don't know in that regard. I've had a lot of Stan accounts demanding that I manufacture information that we don't have on the situation. It's very unusual to watch like the perceptions of that. But if she's going to be a heel, there's a possibility some of this was concocted and all that. But I mean, you look at on screen, just on screen, Becky replaced Lana at the Royal Rumble the year that she won it. She replaced Sasha at the SummerSlam and knocked out Carmella to do it. And now Bailey. So at least on screen, there's a pattern here.
That maybe it leads to Becky Bailey. Maybe it leads to a program with Becky and Bailey.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got, I can't pronounce that. Something poetry says Mania had two awesome triple threat matches, women's world title and Punk Rollins Reigns. Which would you say was the better of the two in your opinion? I thought the women's match was better in the ring. I really enjoyed the story leading up to the men's triple threat because it happened exactly like I thought. Roman Reigns was terrible to Paul Heyman. CM Punk didn't help Paul Heyman. He used him. And Seth Rollins was the only one to actually be honest to him. But the in-ring of the women's, Jimmy, I thought was just off the charts. It's
fantastic. All three girls looked amazing. Sometimes I think we forget how athletic Bianca is because so many girls are athletic now, but Bianca is just another level. I really liked the finish. I thought it was just a really great match. And the men's was good, but the men's was more storyline driven than anything. And I apologize because I forget the guy's name. But last week on this podcast, when you and I were doing predictions, somebody sent in a super chat and said, Seth's going to win because Paul Heyman's going to go with him. And I was like, that sounds like a good idea to me. And that's exactly what happened. So
Demon Diva out here lying on the world wide web.
Hey, don't forget when she did an interview recently with Tom, you know, the British guy, Tom.
Yeah.
And he said something like, what is your motivation to stream all the time? And you didn't say Roman Reigns.
Oh, well, look at that. Fake fan right there. Fake fan.
Fake fan.
She tweeted that her mom met her at the airport and said, you flew all the way there to just watch your favorite get his ass kicked? Which is good stuff. We've got Just Mask does wrestling saying the actual wrestling was slow but fine. Finish was actually, we'll get to that. We'll get all the Rock-related stuff. I'll do it the same. Hey, SRS, contract news. Seen some Reddit speculation of a bunch of people's contracts coming up this year. We'll work to get them as we can. I see the names that you mentioned. I will dig into each one of those as best I can. I will. But Dave Koss says, how would you guys book Gunther right now? Intrigued, he's always been in the circle of a title, and there's great feuds to be had without it. Well, I like the way that they went this week, Jimmy, with him coming out and effectively casting the blame on somebody else because we haven't seen him do that before. He's been very accountable as a heel for his losses, for his faults and all that, except for this week. He was ready to blame anybody but himself. I want to see Ludwig Kaiser become that man that got blamed because Ludwig Kaiser wasn't there for him. Ludwig Kaiser didn't support him, all that. I want him to point fingers at anybody. And I think Ludwig Kaiser is in for a bit of a change anyway. Like it's time to switch him up a little bit and he can be more of a sympathetic character in that regard, I think.
You know, again, the old school of me, I was reminded of Bret Hart getting into it at ringside with Miss McMahon and Vince pulled Bret's t-shirt over his head. You remember that? That's when Bret first turned heel. That's what I thought of watching Gunther go at it with Michael Cole. I question if this leads to Gunther moving to SmackDown because you know, he disobeyed authority and Michael Cole's like, something's got to be done because we're not safe. So I question if it leads to him moving to SmackDown. He's done everything he can do on Raw. He's been the world champion. I think he was a great world champion. And so that's where I think it goes. I like your idea about incorporating Kaiser. Maybe Kaiser moves too. Maybe they do it. Do you know if there's anything about a draft anytime soon?
I've been asking.
Okay.
Dave Costas was Cross working with a bit of a shoot or shooting with a bit of a work. Really feel like they have something here. I mean, this was edited and put into the show that they did. So like they signed off on it. Like there were elements that were his real feelings and elements that were story because he kept on referring to the AJ Styles thing. He didn't want AJ Styles to shoot on Logan Paul pretty clearly, but there were elements of it, like his frustration and being a good soldier and all that stuff, that are worth mentioning. And listen, the honeymoon period for WWE is over. We're seeing a whole lot more people that are underutilized and some booking ideas that haven't necessarily made sense that a lot of people are calling out and pointing a finger at. And I thought it was great. He has done an incredible job at getting buzz regarding himself in a contract year. He's very smart.
You saw the reaction when he got eliminated from the Battle Royal, right? Yeah. So the fans were paying attention. What'd you think about him calling AJ Styles Allen over and over and over again?
It is his way of making it seem more like a shoot.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Most people I talk to call him AJ anyway, so that's how I could tell. But I'll tell you one thing that I like, and it's going to make him look like a soothsayer, like a predictor. After he got eliminated from the Battle Royal, he leaned over and said something to Dragon Lee, and Dragon Lee nodded to him. Who replaced Rey Mysterio the next night? Because it wasn't Rey Mysterio's good buddy, Dragon Lee.
That's right.
It was Rey Fénix. That's going to play in well. And that's something that I think those two did on their own. Did you see Heyman on McAfee's show? He did not give an F. Yeah, he said some stuff he shouldn't have said as well. Stuff I didn't agree with, saying that people should get deported and shit like that. Like, God, like being the edgelord is fine. That's what he's always done. But like, come on. Like, Dan Lebatard was shocked at the things that Paul Heyman said. He was like, WWE just rolled into their show and said whatever. And Alex Fitzgerald says, what a weird PR week. And hearing what Heyman said on the McAfee show, some of the clips from the roast of WrestleMania. Let's talk a little bit about that, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Because
I talked to you about that yesterday.
Arduit says, seen events, Roman Trump, Heyman making deportation jokes. Good for life on this company. Going to make that energy and support Fightful more instead. I mean, listen, I have mentioned to you and to other media members, like I see them leaning out of wrestling media more and more, and that's okay. Yeah. They don't owe us shit. Like, whatever we get, cool. But that doesn't impede me from doing my job. I do that stuff because our audience likes it. We usually lose money on that. Jimmy, you're aware of that. But they go on shows like this, or they do these very, very, very mainstream things, and they get asked things that a lot of people would not be given a second interview for if they asked that. Now, I will say this. A lot of people say, oh, well, the Strom press access, never heard of anybody losing press access as a result of questions like that. But I couldn't believe how many things like that came out throughout the week. It has been a significant shift in all that. Now, to give them a little bit of credit, CM Punk said virtually the opposite of literally all the things that many people took issue with. And they didn't try to combat that either. When I asked somebody at WWE, they said, well, we're just not censoring these people. We're letting them speak their mind in that regard. How'd you feel about that when you saw all that?
Are you talking about the roast?
The fucking roast?
Are you talking
the
about
roast? The fuck you? Who gives a shit about the roast, Jimmy?
What are you talking about?
Talking about the PR week they had. Triple H talking about Punk. Nick Khan talking about AEW. Roman Reigns talking about Trump. CM Punk talking about Elon. The roast. Tony Hinchcliffe.
No, but so the roast I also thought was a stupid idea.
Roast?
Yeah, it was a stupid idea.
Yeah, it was a dumb idea.
Because here's the thing. And I'm not, look, people are going to say Jimmy's no fun and Jimmy, you know, doesn't have a good time, whatever. It's one thing when there's a roast where everybody involved is an independent comedian or actor and there's no association between everybody. They're not working together all the time. Yeah, sure. But the reason I didn't like the roast is these are people working in the same locker room together.
Yes. You know, fight what I mean? Each other sometimes.
Well, yeah, but you know, oftentimes in a situation like that, they end up airing their personal grievances and take personal shots. And, you know, sometimes they went over the line a bit. But to answer your question about other things that you talked about, I didn't think that much of it, to be honest with you. So Nick Khan saying what he did, he's always gonna, what's the word? Try to minimize the importance of AEW or try to, you know, like before when he said, I respect the father and didn't even say Tony's name, right? I respect the father.
He won't say AEW either. He'll say that other company.
Yeah, the other promotion or whatever. Yeah. So I didn't think anything of that. Roman and Punk. Now, you know me, I always say don't talk politics or religion in a public setting. Neither one of them said, I am a lifelong Republican and I love everything Donald Trump does. Neither one of them said that. Didn't really have an issue with either one of those things either. Remind me about what Hunter said about Punk. Remind me.
He didn't say anything about Punk. What are you talking about? He talked about Trump.
Oh, he Trump. Said, Hunter did?
He said, oh, yeah, he's good at getting heat, which I think is a horrible quality for a world leader. But, yeah.
Okay, I think I missed that one. But a lot of that stuff I didn't really bother too much. I know I saw that Cena got a little bit of heat again because he talked about Vince and I love Vince and he's my friend or something. I don't know.
Has TKO given free rein on talent on what can be said by WWE talent? Vince made statements on AEW's Kobe joke and LaMelo using profanity on Raw. They've given a lot more free rein in that sense, especially with the people that talked about it. Triple H, Cena, Roman, Punk, Nick Khan. You got to tell them to not?
Right. Especially Hunter.
Yeah. Here's one. Is that a toupee on your head, Sap? Russo thinks so. Afraid not, guys. Afraid not. I mean, listen, I know that guy is so desperate for relevance and content. Like, quite frankly, he cannot exist without thinking about me, talking about me, anything like that. That's it. Like, it's sad.
Next
it's
up. It's sad.
Yes. Who should Tiffany work with next? Somebody besides Charlotte. Let's move on past that. They'll probably just bring back Nia Jax out of the middle of nowhere after not having any matches or anything like that in a while and put it on her.
Do you think they go with an NXT talent like they did with EO and Stephanie?
Well, I mean, that was a non-title and now they're going to team together.
Yeah, but maybe something similar.
Probably
maybe
they should, but they already had her beat Roxanne. And did they explain why Roxanne left Cora hanging? I'm not on the NXT beat.
They had a tag team match last week. Yeah, they had a tag team match.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't watched NXT as of yet. I had last night off. Any info on why ROH changed? I think it was ticket sales. I would imagine so. Any update on the Stone Cold crash? We need to know how many beers he had. I don't know how many beers he had, but boy, was that bad. And I saw people saying, well, she's not going to get paid. Yeah, she is.
Oh, yeah.
She's getting something.
Nick Khan knew it, too.
Nick Khan knew it. Yeah. She absolutely is going to get something out of it. And then when you see the actual footage from somebody right next to it, he basically runs right into the phone camera that they had there. And it's like, come on.
He also missed the ramp.
Yep.
Like that's another one of the, there were different things that happened at Mania just from a common sense perspective, I guess. That kind of makes you wonder. So if Austin, I'm not going to suggest that Austin was, had too many pops before he did that. But I was watching it live with my wife and I said out loud, he's going way too fast when he's going around the ring. He's going way too fast. And so if he wasn't, completely laser focused, they should have done something else. That was a bad idea.
Well, we were definitely locked in this weekend for Bet Online. Let's hear about it.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here to tell you about BetOnline AG. The highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line, so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling, they got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
Couple people talking about Roman this week. Steven says, Roman Reigns acts better as a heel. Rock's ego getting away of business. We are about to jump into that momentarily, but Dave says, Monday was the first time I've connected with babyface Roman. Any chance he's around more this summer to capitalize on character evolution? I doubt it. This sounded like you're going to take a break for a couple months till Money in the Bank in LA type of thing to me. Now, I can't say that for sure, but it's what it seemed like to me. Roman Reigns has got to be accountable for his character's decisions and behavior and abuse, people will want to cheer him, Jimmy, but he's been a dick. His character's been a dick.
He still gets cheered. From his music is, he gets the pop. I mean, they've already set up him and Punk against Breaker and Rollins, so they're going to do it at some point. But
yeah, eventually, yeah. But I hope so. I hope he's around more.
At least for another 2 years, according to
okay. Somebody's implying to me that would probably know that he's wrestling at Backlash. So okay,
that'll be the
come on, he goes through that barricade or he gets hit too hard. It's like, right. There goes the break. What about the cross promo? We talked about that a little bit earlier. I thought it was fantastic and exactly what he needed. Will Del Rio get released after WWE's AAA acquisition? He has had more of a hand in AAA. They seem to want to be more hands-off on AAA. It's something that I'm actively working to find out.
I want to talk about that for a minute, AAA.
Sure.
So I read the press release. WWE did not acquire 100% of AAA. They did it in partnership with a private equity company out of Mexico called Philippe. Have you heard anything? And I know it's early. Have you heard anything about WWE's plans when it comes to the day-to-day operations? Like, are they going to have the current management remain in place?
Everybody I talked to would be shocked if they took over all of it. So like what you said, was not a big surprise because they were like, I can't believe that would leave the family and the like. But I had no idea this was coming. There had been people in AAA saying, yeah, there's always been talk of a new partner and stuff like that. But I didn't think it'd be WWE. I think Dave had mentioned like they had talked a long time ago. And obviously there were rumors about Gable and all that. But then when I asked talent afterwards, they're like, yeah, this is something that has been mentioned quite a few times. And people were like, yeah, okay, buddy, I bet. Like they didn't really, some of them didn't really believe it. As far as the day-to-day operations of it, I can't speak to the operations. Listen, AAA, from what I have watched in recent months, years, has not been a great not been a great product to watch. I think turning it into NXT Mexico would be a mistake. You keep the name, you keep the history. You keep all that stuff, but
do you think they're going to bring a PC down there and treat that as a developmental territory for that area?
I think there'll be something tied to it like that for sure. For sure. But yeah,
There's also the Stephanie aspect too, right?
Yeah.
Cause that guy's still under contract. Is he not with AAA?
I don't know if he's under contract. There's a lot of people that are in AAA that are there, but not under contract.
Right. Right.
But I mean, she's got a restraining order. So legally
tough situation. I would not send her there at all. Whether he's part of the company or not, I wouldn't have her work there at all.
Yeah. Make him say, are you ready for Dynamite tonight, Jimmy?
Familiar
with Master P.
I remember him from WCW 20 some years ago.
I remember him from Make Him Say Uh.
Okay. Okay. That's
you know all the wrestling connections and Make Him Say Uh?
No idea.
Master P and the No Limit Soldiers were in WCW.
Remember?
Silk the Shocker is in the video. He did MVP's theme song. Shaq, former WWE and AEW star, is in the video. And one of the lines in Make Him Say was sampled and then used by Wale in the song that would become the NXT theme during NXT 2.0. So a lot of heavy wrestling connections. And Master P, I don't know if he still owns House of Glory, but he had part ownership at one point. So, I mean, big wrestling guy is a Master P. Any thoughts on the way Gunther lost the title? Would have been more valuable if it was a 3 count. Having him tap out is something that doesn't quite make sense to me. I wasn't as bothered by it as many people. But I would have had him pinned for sure. I don't know what that did for him.
So I feel like there's a story to tell because he lost once to Dragunov in NXT, same way where he tapped real quick.
It's also Dragunov though. Like, and they
Sure. But maybe they could have told a story, or maybe they will tell a story that Gunther just doesn't like submissions, or you know, he doesn't. I don't know. But that's the first thing when I saw him tap so quickly, especially to Jey Uso, Mr. Excellence of Execution, I thought there's got to be a story behind this. And I saw the Dragunov clip, so maybe they can tie him in.
What's the next AEW milestone that isn't outliving WCW? That's a good question, honestly.
I don't know. A million viewers on average? I don't know.
But that's gonna be really hard to ever hit on cable again because of the
It has to be a combination
because of the max, and we'll never get those numbers. Yeah. As far as that, you know what? I think like setting their American attendance record would be a good one.
Maybe like passing episode 500 or something. What are they at now? Yeah. Like 298 or something?
Guys, we've talked about the Cross Postmania interview three times now. BL, I'm sorry. Just rewind a little bit. We talked about it at length. Imamura going back to Noah, or is that a ruse? I'll find out. I mean, listen, they're connected with WWE now, so it could happen. What a match a couple weeks ago, though. What a match. I think it was about a month ago now. Rollins helps Cena beat Randy. Cena thinks they're cool with them. Reveal they just want the title. And now Cena is easier to beat than Randy. I don't know. I think you got to go Cena.
Two different brands.
The top heel. Top heel got to be Cena throughout this process. Yeah. Just mask. That's how I'm feeling there. The problem with the Becky turn is she has turned almost the same way before and almost identically. That sucks for Bayley. The turn wasn't good. None of the creative was good. None of it. Not the tag team booking leading up to that. Not the IC title booking leading up to that, where two losers of top contendership matches got title shots. Not the fact that you kept Becky off the show on some real weak WrestleMania, road to WrestleMania Raws that could have used her. Overseas, they would have loved her overseas. And then the turn would have had more equity and built up. It was bad. It was really bad, James Stalling. I got to agree with you. I got to completely agree with you. I still got to check the Humper chats too. My God. We still got a bunch about Rock.
Yeah, we got to get to Rock. Yeah.
We're going to be talking about that after our next little ad break. But making chili out of the last $3 brisket, let's crank. Bayley is clearly the lowest rated horsewoman in WWE's non-color seeing eyes. Is her relationship with Mercedes an issue? AEW bound. I don't think her relationship with Mercedes is an issue whatsoever. Like, not at all.
So she talked about that with Chris. And she said that she always has to like get it cleared, but she said not only are they cool with me going there, but she said Mercedes has come to a bunch of my matches, but you just don't necessarily know it, is what she told Chris. So
it's hidden pretty well from what I understand. But no, nothing like that. Do I see her going to AEW? Yes, I think it's a possibility she could go to AEW. Absolutely. If I were Mercedes, I'd be pushing Tony Khan for that as well. Worlds Collide should also include TNA and Noah. I think it will in the future. I think it will. Dave Koss says, I would love Tiffany to work Naomi to keep her and her great character work in prominence. Do we think Bianca is out for a bit? So FightfulSelect.com reported that it was feared that Bianca had a couple broken fingers. I think she can still appear on the show, but they might just be like, hey, we'll give you a little break. With Naomi, she just lost to Jade. So, like, right. I love Naomi's work, but I'm like, don't put her immediately in a title feud after she lost a big match. Have her win to get there, Jimmy. Right. That's how I'm feeling.
Totally agree. I mean, you literally just talked about what they've done with the Intercontinental title. So, Naomi's got to get some wins. Although, I will say, I liked the showcase of Jade at WrestleMania. She's got her shortcomings. She's still a green. But they showcased her, I thought, really well. They definitely planned out spots to make her look good.
Cool Wow says, what direction do you see Cody going? I think one that's not the title. Maybe he says, you know, if I can't do that, I don't deserve to be competing for the title right now. I need to work my way up just like everybody else. I think it's a babyface thing to do.
I think he takes a break. I think.
Really?
Yeah, because how do you come back to SmackDown this Friday when all anybody's going to be talking about is you lost to Cena and the Travis Scott thing and Rock's bullshit or whatever, and Cena's already moving on to Randy Orton. You got to give it that little gap in time. So I think he takes a break.
He is not listed on the advertised superstar. Actually, he is. He is now. Yeah, he is listed as the advertised superstar. So we'll
maybe
see.
Maybe it's a dark match.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Or low ticket sales, the same reason the Collision show in Wichita was canceled. Notice that AEW is running a lot of Double Dynamite Collision tapings moving forward. Why are they doing this? Well, why are they doing it? Cost effectiveness, getting people to the venue, being able to see two shows instead of one might entice somebody to come to the show. I would assume that that's why the Wichita shows were canceled and stuff, because I mean, I haven't seen the ticket numbers for that, but that would make a lot of sense. That's almost usually exclusively the reason like that, that shows are canceled or moved. Dante says, while the main event scene is not good, I'm finding the booking of Bayley more egregious. Kind of like Killer Cross with being a good soldier. What has that gotten either of them? Well, Bayley's had some very good booking. Killer Cross, Karrion Kross has never gotten that type of booking. He's had his best friends fired. He's been fired. His wife has been fired. He's been brought up to TV, given an S&M gimmick, beaten in a couple minutes. Like, he has been given absolute dog shit and got himself over. Bayley has also consistently got herself over and definitely been put in some spots that are not as optimal as I believe she should be, but also she's won Royal Rumbles. She's won every title. She's competed for the titles at Mania and won as well. They just haven't always, I think, had the appropriate follow-up for Bayley. Bayley is also the definition of a good soldier. She's just reaped the benefits a little bit, a lot more than Cross, but still, Bayley is one of those talent, Jimmy. It's almost like Asuka, where no matter how you book her, it's like you can always do better because of the talent level associated with those people. Bayley is as good of a talent as anybody in the company. And I think sometimes WWE takes that for granted.
She also, and I'm going back to the Chris interview again, I'm putting Chris Van Vliet over today. She talked in that interview about her awareness when it comes to even things like aesthetic. Yeah. So she talked about how at one point she had purple hair and then somebody else had purple hair. And so, okay, I got to change that. She shaved one side of her head and put the design in it just to look different, to have a different aesthetic than everybody else. So Bayley's aware of stuff like that. She even changed from the Bayley to Bayley or the Bayley to Bayley suplex as a finisher because she was turning heel and she felt she needed to do something different. So she's very aware.
Also said she knows the fans don't like her current finisher, which I would get a different finisher if that were the case.
Get new music too while you're at it.
She don't like that music either from what I hear. Yeah. We got, where is he? Michael saying, did Bayley know about the changes during the CVV interview? She seemed to allude to it for around 49 minutes in, confused what happened. Did I miss something by not watching SmackDown? You didn't miss shit, Playboy. You saw it all. It was just bad booking. And yes, she knew about it. And man, it's really disappointing and disheartening. And it's a bummer because she is such a phenomenal performer. She's so good. So good. And it's depressing. Alex says, just got home from a week from Vegas, but a ton of fun, but holy crap, was it pricey. Got to meet the reason I'm a fan, Jeff Hardy. Hell yeah. They killed it at meet and greets. I bet that line was long, Alex. Since Becky's return made me think, did we ever get a reason why Sasha missed SummerSlam 2021? I was there for that as well. So that's two for two on Becky Vegas returns as well. So I remember the day of that I was talking. I mean, I got the news that Sasha Banks was not going to be at that show. And then I started to ask WWE PR because I'm in the press box and they wouldn't give us an answer. But she was gone for 2 months after that. So I would imagine it was something injury related, but I can't speak to, I don't know if I've still got that. I don't have that info handy right now. You know, I'll tell you what info I do have handy. Our wonderful sponsor, NordVPN. And on the other side, we're going to be talking about The Rock. I've often talked about how much of a pay-per-view buyer I am. Take that any way you want it, but I'll tell you how I take it. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Fastest VPN on the planet, global server network, all that good stuff. That's great. But a big, big reason why I got NordVPN.com/Fightful is all the pay-per-views I buy, all the money we're spending. We're trying to control costs as a company, as a household. You can get those UFC pay-per-views at a fraction of the price you're paying here in America. Plus, you can get all kinds of great content that you wouldn't normally see thanks to those services as well. Shows that are on overseas services, things that you want to watch a little bit early so you get on that UK time and watch them. Being able to change the interfaces of things like the WWE Network, maybe you don't like Peacock, anything like that. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that ability while having the fastest VPN on the planet. Also, you just get so much more out of your internet experience with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Subscribe to Fight and AEW Plus. Watch AEW without commercials. Watch bare knuckle boxing. Watch UFC pay-per-views, boxing pay-per-views at the rates they're getting over in the UK. Change your virtual location with just one click. And hey, if you need any help using it, they got that 24/7 tech support. NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's time. Let's get to these super chats that are about The Rock, because this is an all-encompassing conversation. Dave Koss says, I can't help but feeling perplexed about the booking of Cody, the character at Mania. Used the chair at Saturday night's main event. KO put him through a ladder, celebrated his face. Chamber was a crime scene, but he can't use a belt. Come on. The Rock noted on his interview with Pat McAfee, well, I would have done some things differently. That was calculated. Wavy says, I knew The Rock was up to no good when he came back because Black Adam bombed. This interview proved my point. We've got KE775 says, did The Rock and Triple H have different visions on the build of WrestleMania? And the actual match seemed like The Rock wasn't thrilled with the execution. Dave Cost, that generous super chat you sent, I promise this is all tying together because we're talking about all of this as well. Dave Cost says, Rock told many lies, but I was happy that he proved you right about the timeline. Wanted Cody heel. Felt like to me that he backed off on Cody and said, fine, I'll do the angle, but then you're on your own. Then he says, Rock seems to want to be involved, but is struggling with reading the room. You simply can't launch the angle and not see it through. More importantly, expect us to not anticipate you and then feed us Travis, of whom The Rock has claimed that he was surprised to see there. Or Pat McAfee was as well. Just Mask said the actual wrestling was slow but fine. The finish was a mess that gave me MJF versus Jay White vibes. I blame Dwayne, but my GOAT won, and that's good for me. Steven says, is Rock's brand more important to him than what's best for business? And Alex says, ready for the Rock talk now. So I wanted to make sure this got 10, 15 minutes because this is the topic, Jimmy. Let me just run down a few things. Mm-hmm. A lot of people owe Dave Meltzer an apology. Mm-hmm. Because this guy in October reported that WWE was told that The Rock wasn't going to be there. When I followed up with creative told me, yep, we have been told to prepare plans as if The Rock is not going to be involved. When he showed up at Bad Blood, I was told, yeah, that got finalized. The main event got solidified as Cody and Roman for Bad Blood teaming when they filmed that stadium thing. Then they knew for sure The Rock was going to be there about a week earlier. And I asked, what did all that stuff mean? And I was told absolutely nothing. And I was even told then, they'll pretend it does at some point, but we were told it had no significance.
20 steps ahead, Sean. 20 steps ahead.
20 steps ahead. The Rock comes back, does his Netflix appearance, which again, your boys at Fightful Select reported he was going to be at the Intuit Dome. They were expecting him there. He does not, or he shows up at Elimination Chamber. He tells Pat McAfee that Ari Emanuel called him about a month prior and said, ticket sales are slow. Calculated thing to say. Intentional thing to say, by the way. Ticket sales are slow. We need you there. What can we do? He confirms Dave Meltzer's report that we also confirmed Cody Rhodes was the original pitch to turn heel. That got passed up.
Which is absolutely mind-blowing, by the way.
Yeah. Mind-blowing. That he wanted to turn Cody heel? We'll talk about it. Then he implies that after the offer of Cody Rhodes selling his soul, after Triple H presented him the idea of Cena turning heel, and he said, let's do it. They did it, and he claims that he called up Cody and Cena and said, the final boss's work here is done. Something ain't right here, Jimmy. Listen, I'm in a position to where if I say anything, people be like, you're reporting that. No, if I have an opinion or a theory, don't aggregate it. Don't aggregate it. You're weird as fuck if you do that. We're just talking here.
But Sean, we're not supposed to be critical. We're supposed to just be fans, Sean.
That's the thing. Something ain't adding up here. Something is odd here. You don't mention him but one time on the road to WrestleMania, and it was Cena or it was Cody saying, well, at least I didn't sell my soul to The Rock. Acting like he didn't have how does he not fit into this?
He's at the epicenter of it. He was at the epicenter of the story.
He said that he was watching at home. Yeah. If he's on the board, why wouldn't he just even be there? Like, none of this makes sense. It's very frustrating to watch unfold.
Did you see Coach's video?
I did not.
Okay, so Coach Jonathan Coachman, who worked for WWE for many years and knows people and whatever,
sure,
put out a video right after Rock's appearance on McAfee. And he had a theory. He had a couple theories. And these are theories. This is not, you know, FIFO reporting. This is a theory from Jonathan Coachman. You notice how The Rock's appearance was not advertised for Pat McAfee till the night before?
Did you notice how The Rock didn't advertise or promote WrestleMania one time?
Right.
He didn't tweet about it.
So Coach, one of Coach's theories is that TKO called The Rock and said, we need you to do Pat McAfee because they recognize the backlash they were getting for that shitty finish. So that's one of Coach's theories. Another one of his theories is that things are not kosher between Rock and certain members of the creative team.
But like that didn't take any heat off WWE. That made WWE and The Rock all look worse.
Oh, it was worse. Absolutely, 100%. He made it worse. The Rock made it worse. And you know, do you remember I said to you a while ago on this podcast? I said I feel like The Rock is becoming out of touch with wrestling, and I feel like it's at least partially ego driven.
Yeah,
because last year he wanted to do him and Roman when Cody had all this momentum. He wanted Cody to step aside, and they even filmed it on TV. He wanted him to step aside so they could do Rock and Roman, and it wasn't until the online backlash that they pivoted. And now we had this, where it's one thing for him to come up with the idea. Cody's your number one babyface. He's your top merch seller. He's your number one ticket mover. And like somebody said in the super chats, WWE has always been driven by having that big baby face. Cody's that guy, and you wanted to turn him heel.
They keep trying to chop this dude's legs out from underneath him.
It's mind-boggling.
How many times now?
And here's something else. Here's something else. Rock said, yeah, so, you know, Cody would go with me, and he would, like, give his soul to The Rock. But he wouldn't turn heel right away. He would turn heel down the road. Are you fucking serious? So you have Cody with The Rock against babyface Cena, because Cena wouldn't have turned, right? So you have Cody with The Rock against babyface Cena, but Cody's not turning heel? He doesn't. He's out to lunch on this, man. I'm sorry.
Think about the last 3 years, Jimmy. The last 3 years. They could have easily, two WrestleManias ago, put the title on Cody, and people would have been like, hell yeah, finish the story. That's great. Off to the races. They had a really bummer of a title scene that year, and they had to keep Cody busy during that period. Cody comes back, wins the Rumble again, and they're going to change the match on him.
Yeah.
They tell this guy the day of the Rumble, they're changing the match on him. Then they put him in this feud with John Cena. They know that it's been the feud for 5-6 months at this point. The Rock pops up. They do this big turn, history-making turn, got all the buzz in the world. My work here is done. Your work here is done.
Yeah, every he was the focus week, of it. Yeah.
Every single week since Elimination Chamber, people have asked me, when's The Rock going to show up? When is this? And all that I have been told throughout the entire process is there's still no plan for The Rock to be at Mania. Still no plan for The Rock to be at Mania. Still no plan for The Rock to be at Mania. And people are shitting on it. People are acting like we're making it up. Oh, The Rock's creative is kept so close to him. There's no way anybody hear about it. You know what's about to happen? WWE's about to do a new docuseries about their creative process, of which, by the way, a number of the matches that Ibu and I were talking about on the post-Raw show in December popped up on a goddamn whiteboard in the trailer. Now, it's going to be full of its, they don't really know what they're talking about, and clever editing and stuff like that. But I think they also know that docuseries is coming out, and some of the process of The Rock's non-involvement is also going to be revealed as well. And there's a lot of issues with how people are perceived. We know that to be a thing that concerns The Rock. And listen, if I had everybody on the planet in my business and concerned with me, I don't like that shit with me being me. Can't imagine what it's like for Triple H or The Rock or somebody like that. But none of this, little of this made sense. Alex says, using Rock to sell tickets with no long-term plans, no explanation from Cena, but they kept Travis Scott around. This will hurt Cena's heel run. So I don't have as much of a problem with them using The Rock to sell the tickets as much as, and they didn't advertise The Rock for Mania, but the very clear implication that The Rock would be involved. And The Rock at the presser saying everything had a reason. No, it didn't have a reason. You doing this.
20 steps ahead, yeah.
This, no, it wasn't. It wasn't, but I guarantee you I know what's going to happen. That dude is going to roll in at SummerSlam or Money in the Bank or wherever he happens to be. He will.
Because he said that they could pick it back up, right? The give your soul thing. Yeah, he said they could pick it back up.
He'll do all this. He'll do the Emma dance. And then you'll have those Bloodline Twitter accounts going, Cinema cooked us. NGL. Can't believe they fell for it. He knew it all. No, he didn't. They tried to pretend that the Cena turn was planned. They tried to say that Cena, that Rock was doing his hand gesture. No, he wasn't. He counted a 1, 2, 3, did the throat slit. Yeah, that throat slit thing is always identifiable with Cena, right? Come on. Come on. What are we doing? We got our intelligence insulted for so long as wrestling fans. For so long. Do you remember when they tried to gaslight us into thinking that they really had that plan for Daniel Bryan all along? And then Daniel Bryan put out his book and he was like, guys, under no circumstances did they have this planned all along. They were forced to do it. How many WrestleMania matches have they been forced to change because fans were like, this shit is ass? A lot.
So one thing that Hunter did say weeks before WrestleMania, he said Travis Scott's going to be at WrestleMania.
Sure.
They didn't say in what capacity, but he said Travis Scott's going to be at WrestleMania. So when The Rock said, because I don't know whether to say this to partly defend The Rock, I want your thoughts on it. The Rock said, I didn't know Travis Scott was going to be part of it. That was a surprise. And The Rock said, when Travis Scott came out, I knew that that was going to amplify the idea of here comes the final boss, right? So he knew, shit, now everybody thinks here comes The Rock. We knew Travis Scott was going to be there in some capacity. Do you think, because The Rock is fucking like in the weeds with this company, supposed to be, do you think that The Rock knew Travis Scott was going to be part of the finish, or do you think that he genuinely was surprised?
He said he knew all the finishes.
He said he knew the finishes, but he didn't. He said that he was surprised by Scott's participation.
I'll tell you what led me to believe The Rock would be at WrestleMania. Him being involved with the guy in the main event of WrestleMania for a year plus, and then helping the other guy that's in the main event of WrestleMania a month or 2 months ago. But and if he wasn't going to be, why didn't The Rock, out of the final boss character that he, you know, I'm glad he specifies that. I am. I got no problem with him answering questions honestly and switching back and forth. Just clarify. The final boss says all that, and he did that on this show. But why didn't you just say you wouldn't be at WrestleMania? Why didn't that get out there? Because they didn't want it to get out there. They didn't want ticket sales to slow. They wanted people to think he would be at WrestleMania. That's why.
They had 6 weeks of build, right? Between Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania, they had 6 weeks of build. And you and I, every week on this podcast, talked about how lackluster the build was and how Cena was spending all this time talking about, you fans are awful to me and you're terrible to me and this is a abusive relationship. Never did Cena cut a promo saying, this is why I did it. This is why I did it. And it got to the point where I think 2 weeks ago, because it was recent, 2 weeks ago, Cody finally said to Cena, why? Why did you do what you did to me? And why did you go with The Rock? And that is the only time, to my knowledge, in 6 weeks of build, that's the only time that The Rock's name was mentioned, was the one time that Cody said, why did you go with The Rock? And that's it. Otherwise, Cena didn't say shit. And so I feel like that's not by accident.
Yeah, Triple H didn't mention The Rock one time in his Hall of Fame speech, is what people tell me. I didn't watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen
Hell
it yet.
Hell no, I ain't going to do that.
Apparently, it was an hour long.
Oh, it was the segment that started it from the video through the induction to the speech was an hour and a half. Triple H and Nick Khan have to put their foot down. He has to be all the way in or all the way out of creative. No more half-ass appearances just because. See, I wouldn't even mind that if he shows up, cuts his promo, has a good time. People like to see that. But he was involved in one of the top three heel turns in wrestling history.
Integral part of the story.
Could you imagine Hulk Hogan showing up, turning heel with the Outsiders, and then Kevin Nash and Scott Hall being like, see you guys, work here is done. Bye.
No. And you know, the other another element to this, Sean, Rock knew the finishes, so he knew Cena was going to win the title, right?
Yeah.
Cena's the heel. That means Cena's going to cheat to win. Don't you think that The Rock would have been a beneficial component of that instead of Travis Scott, who has nothing? Look, let me say this, and I said this after Elimination Chamber. I understand from a business perspective why they're doing this with Travis Scott. From a business perspective, I don't give a shit about Travis Scott's music. I don't know what kind of a star he is, Sean, because he's not on my radar.
But very successful. Very, very big star.
And obviously, he caters to the demo that they covet, right? So from a business perspective, I get it. It gets mainstream press and it's all over TMZ. I get it. From a wrestling perspective, he has nothing to do with anything. He has nothing to do
literally,
with anything.
Literally any wrestler in the back, from a kayfabe perspective, poses more of a physical threat.
Anybody.
Anybody.
Yeah, like he has nothing to do with anything. On the Netflix premiere, he was a babyface with Jey Uso.
Yeah.
He has nothing to do with anything.
I don't care about. But
no, but I'm just saying he has nothing to do with anything.
Sure, sure.
And he's the guy that cost him the title, pulls the referee out. There's no they need to damn well explain this shit. Like, they have to explain it. Because it doesn't make any sense. It was one of the worst pitches in the history of wrestling.
I mean, in the last couple of years, their fans have been happy with, oh, well, we'll just consume product because most of it was good. And this was the first time I had seen the real shift. And then the next night, Raw after Mania was a hit. So a lot of people were like, oh, just leave Triple H in control. Leave it to... He booked it! Mm. He booked it all! It was all him. He has the final say. Dave Koss says they have plausible deniability because he was actively distanced from TV, but fans 100% spent thousands expecting him to be there. Yes, they did. A lot of fans spent a lot of money assuming that. Yeah. Starting to get a lot of pushback on the ticket sales, ticket prices, and all that stuff. I had somebody that I really trust say that like there were still some availabilities that they were able to get some really good stuff at a price that was not nearly as bad, very last minute as well.
I saw one guy say he got $5,000 seats for $400.
That too. Yeah. That too. Yeah.
And you know what? Let me ask you, this goes along with this. So we've talked before about the ticket pricing strategies of both companies, WWE and AEW, and how WWE now, they can promote all of these record gates, and we broke this record and we broke that record because they're raising ticket prices. But we saw they didn't sell out Elimination Chamber because ticket prices. They didn't sell out WrestleMania. It's funny how night one was a sellout. Night two was a sellout, but it was bigger attendance night two than it. It's all bullshit.
I'll say this, Jimmy. Thank God they don't partner with Patreon because then they'd increase their prices and lose money.
Yeah, right. But
shout out to our good friends at Patreon fucking shit up for us.
But can you ever remember a time when somebody the stature of The Rock went on a show like Pat McAfee and actually said, tickets weren't selling, so they called me and asked me to come? I've never heard that. That never happened.
Very intentional.
Never.
The Rock is, again, a very smart man. He understands the implications of saying ticket sales weren't moving, saying,
so I'm here to save the day.
And I think that he thought it made him look better that he was like, oh, I don't want to impede on this. And I'm like, no, you were a big part of that.
It was his idea.
I think that he thinks that it reflects poorly on WWE that they just let people continue to believe what they wanted. And then he said, yeah, I thought the match was okay, but I would have done some things differently. He knows how that reflects. Yeah. Again, docuseries coming up. And again, people are like, oh, finally a real look at WWE. They're going to work some of this shit, brother. Guarantee you they do. They're going to get very creative for their own agendas. It will happen.
Mm. Yeah, it's... You know, The Rock already turned heel on television, and now I think he kind of turned heel with wrestling fans off television too. It was a really poor appearance. It really kind of was. He kind of took shots quietly, subtly at Triple H in the creative process, I thought. And I don't know.
Listen, it's Triple H deserves to have some shots taken at him. And again, if I were booking a show, if I'm Triple H or Tony Khan or whoever the hell's booking Tommy Dreamer at this point, I'd probably take a lot of that stuff personally because, like, you know, it's something that you've probably worked hard on, or at least you feel like you've worked hard on. But there have been a lot of holes in this stuff. And the one thing that WWE has been very good at is at least on one of the shows, they have at least some really fire angle going. Like, right. And now that one was the most glaring one. And there were a lot of people that were like, okay, night one ended with a good angle. Night two did not. And a lot of it resonates with what you see last. But
yeah, because you know what's interesting is night two was looking like it was going to be one of the best WrestleMania nights ever.
Yeah.
Because
the
women's
opening match. Opening match is right up there with Bret Owen to me.
Yeah, it was great. And a lot of the matches as things were going on, like things were just really clicking. And then AJ and Logan is when I think they started losing the fans a bit because they just didn't have chemistry. So they started losing the fans when Travis Scott came out there, man. Jesus. Because the crowd was into the match. They were rooting for Cena. It was almost like Rock Hogan, almost. You know what I mean? They were rooting for Cena. And then Travis Scott just tilted the whole thing. It was one of the worst finishes of all time. And I posted it on Twitter. It's ironic that they've been plugging WrestleMania 9 a lot because WrestleMania 9 is the last time they were in Vegas for Mania and they did the documentary. And you know how WrestleMania 9 ended? One of the worst finishes in WrestleMania history. This was right there. One of the worst finishes in WrestleMania history. And one of these situations again, and how many times have we talked about this about over the last year about Triple H? Even on paper, how can you look at that and think that's good? It's one thing for you to think on paper it's great and it doesn't execute. How can you look at that on paper and think this is great? He's going to pull the referee out, not going to get disqualified. How can you possibly think that's going to be good? It was terrible. Awful.
We still have some super chats and humper chats. Get yours in, guys. Cool, fool. I appreciate you. I'm going to assume you were born in 1980 because you want Jim Johnson to make a comeback. But he says, Jim Johnson said he's open to a comeback. If WWE is interested, Tony Khan, or not interested, Tony Khan should go after him. Let me break down a lot of this. Jim Johnson is like 75 right now. 75. He has not regularly produced theme music in 8 or 9 years. And he wanted a lot of money when AEW first started.
Did he?
Oh, God, a lot from what I understood.
Really?
There were some inquiries. Mikey Ruckus is a lot younger. He's a lot more versatile with his themes. And AEW has him at, a good rate. I think he just got a new deal last year. But they've got him at a rate that is very, very good. All due respect to Jim Johnson, him contributing here and there wouldn't be so bad. But he wants a lot of money. A lot of money from what I understood. Maybe that's changed. But also, Jim Johnson said this 2 years ago in an interview. It's just one of the aggregator pages, WrestleOps, took a recent clip that got put out and posted their tweet as if it was a brand new thing because they didn't know better. We got Jeremy Lambert on our team, so Jeremy Lambert knows better than that. But there you go. Nico says, I feel like Ethan Page could be a good fit with Seth and Braun. Maybe, but I don't want Ethan Page playing third or fourth banana in something. Ethan Page he would have to in that situation. Yeah. I think Ethan Page can adjust to almost any situation. He's a very versatile performer. But
I want to ask you this question, Sean, and if people still have questions about The Rock, that's fine, but I want to ask you this question. I loved Joe Hendry at WrestleMania with Randy Orton. I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people say, oh, they took the TNA champion and they had him squashed. I didn't look at it like that at all. Like, I really liked seeing him. My question for you is, you on the Fightful Discord before Joe Hendry came out said it was going to be Joe Hendry.
Yep.
And here's my question for you. How did that come to be? Because there are reports that Orton picked him. So what have you heard?
I had heard that Orton was in favor of it. I had heard that somebody got approached about it around the time that Kevin Owens' injury was announced. Joe Hendry himself says that he found out the week of or a week before Mania. People in TNA found out like a day before.
Really?
Or a lot of people in TNA found out like a day before. But the TNA people seem to agree with you, Jimmy. I think it's great for Joe Hendry. And not nearly as great for TNA. A lot of people are like, oh my God, I got the TNA title on TV. Mm. And I think Jeff Hawkins had a really good point when we were discussing who it would be on night one. He's like, people are saying Nick Aldis, but the WWE fans don't know his moves.
Right.
WWE fans know Joe Hendry. Do they know his moves?
Right.
They probably know that he turns around.
Follow his slam. Maybe he's done that a bunch.
Follow his slam.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and you know what? Good for him getting Randy up. Randy's a gigantic human being.
Yes. He's a giant human being, especially these days.
Yeah.
I think Joe Hendry has been brilliant. He's a very smart guy.
I really like him.
He does a lot of things. Like there were years ago, I remember when he just started to train amateur wrestling. She's like, I think that I could do well in this and maybe go to this level. And he did really well. And Chael Sonnen took an interest in him. I remember that. But I don't think that a 3-minute match of your champion getting beaten by Randy Orton makes your title look good. But I think all of it is okay for Joe Hendry, like Joe Hendry himself. And listen, you're not going to turn it down. Right. You're not going to say no. There's no situation where I would have said no to that if I were anybody involved. Now, I do agree that Ariel, who got fired from TNA, should have said, no, I don't want our TNA champion losing on WWE Raw to The Miz. Don't want that. Completely in favor of that. But like you've had a bunch of people on the roster, mid-carders, that lasted twice as long in the last few months or the last year with Orton than Hendry did at WrestleMania. Like,
I don't know, I mean,
less Snickers ad and give him a couple more minutes.
I guess, but at the same time, Orton is always known as the guy. He can hit the RKO out of anywhere, and it's a finisher. And, you know, that's what he did. I had no issue with it. I thought it was great. And also, I don't know how much time is left on Hendry's contract. You might know.
Less than a year, FightfulSelect.com reported.
Triple H made it clear in the scrum that was not his first WrestleMania.
Last WrestleMania, you mean.
Or I'm sorry, that was not his last WrestleMania. So they definitely have plans for him.
Shawn Michaels loves him.
Yeah, he was on NXT this week too.
There you go.
And he is made for the entertainment style of WWE, and I think he's going to do great things there.
Who is worse, Hogan politics or Rock politics? Hogan, by far, not even close. Hogan, WrestleMania 9, one of the worst finishes of all time. And then having the ending of Starrcade when WCW was at its creative peak doing that, not only should Hogan have not done that, Hogan should have lost Starrcade 97 in a 5-minute one-sided ass kicking squash where Sting beat the dog shit out of him and nobody helped him. Like that's what should have happened. Like Hogan's politics, and it's not even close.
There's so many. Did you know that the Randy Savage thing was because Savage was on fire and he wanted to be a part of it? That was in 88.
I'm sure.
And he wanted to lose the title after WrestleMania 9 to Yokozuna, not Bret Hart, even though he filmed photos doing a pull apart with Bret with the belt. Mm-hmm. But then he thought Bret was too small, didn't want to lose to him. He wanted Warrior in WCW because he wanted to get his win back from WrestleMania 6.
Yeah.
There are so many examples. Bash at the Beach, the Jeff Jarrett when he laid down. There are so many examples with Hogan. So many. I could just rhyme off a bunch off the top of my head.
Bobby says, hypothetical big if situation. If Triple H's creative start to slip, what are the odds that Ari Emanuel turns to Rock and his camp to take over creative? I think there's a pretty good odd of that. Brian Gewirtz is a member of Rock's camp. I don't think The Rock will be necessarily like factored
head of creative,
of creative, but Brian Gewirtz is absolutely equipped to be head of creative. Brian Gewirtz is often credited as one of the more brilliant WWE writers in company's history.
If he wants to do it, I guess, but I think
Ari, I don't know what he's got going on.
Ari has always said, and not that this can't change, but Ari has always said, Dana White runs UFC, Nick Khan and Triple H run WWE.
Sure.
And I'm not involved in it. He's always said that. So I think unless Nick Khan were to say, we got to make a change, I don't think it would happen. But I want to say one thing, you know, quick here, because I put this on my list. We're talking a lot of kind of doom and gloom with WWE and the WrestleMania finish and The Rock and all this shit. All is not doom and gloom.
No, they made a ton of money this week. Yeah.
Well, no, but not just that. So when you look at what they have in the pipeline now following WrestleMania, so they've got the new stable with Paul Heyman, which I think has great potential. Jacob Fatu won the U.S. title. That guy is going to do great things in the business. Tiffany Stratton retained the WWE women's title, solidifying herself as a star. Joe Hendry got the Mania moment, and he's going to get a lot more of them. Dominic Mysterio, Sean. Dominic Mysterio had the crowd with him when he won the Intercontinental title.
Loved it. Loved it.
And you can see with Dom now, so people see, I think people have seen enough real life videos and interviews with him to see he's a very laid back, funny guy in real life. Yep. And in the ring, he's gotten a lot better. And so now the crowd is with him. Jade Cargill, I thought that was a great showcase of her skills.
She was great, yeah.
And Rusev returned on Raw, looked like $1 million. There's a lot of good things happening. The problem is the biggest storyline going into the biggest match on the biggest show kind of took some of the shine off of it. But there's a lot of good things going on.
Yeah. Corey says, thoughts on Obafemi? Looks like a top guy already. He's going to be a top guy. He's incredible. I wonder if they'll make him keep the accent, the fake accent that he's got, because usually that ends up getting abandoned. But I think he's incredible.
And I think he just had like his 27th birthday. He's young.
Yeah, he is. New Lack City says, what's up, guys? Got to be honest, this week made it hard to be a WWE fan. WWE is kind of turning into UFC, and not in a good way. They'll find out quickly the two fan bases are not the same. They're seeing it already. Jimmy, you and I have talked about this a number of times. We launched Fightful as a crossover combat sports website when UFC was definitely at one of its popularity peaks again. Like, they were hitting UFC 200. We saw the different audiences and how they were. I have cited the UFC MMA audience and how they act as a huge reason why I said, Jimmy, I can cover both if you want me to, but I think we're better off putting all my eggs in this wrestling basket for any number of reasons. The fan base was a big one. Yeah. I think WWE did find out this week that the fan base is pretty significantly different.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, when we started, I was ignorant because I'm a fan of both.
And sure, me too.
And I respect both. And so what I didn't know was most wrestling fans, even if they're not MMA fans, they respect it. Most MMA fans, if they're not wrestling fans, they hate it. They're offended by it. They think it's this quote-unquote fake shit. They're offended by it. They hate it. They want nothing to do with it. And I didn't think that was going to happen. And so that's why, yeah, when we started FIFO, we still have MMA, but we pivoted more to wrestling because there wasn't as much crossover as I thought. If you don't like both, if you prefer UFC, you hate wrestling, is I think what we figured out.
Jonathan says, I think Cody will be fan since fans
fine.
Simply wanted
fine.
Fine. Since fans simply wanted Cena to win. They could just say he didn't want to win that way in front of his daughter. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping he says that he looked at his wife and daughter and that's what made him make the decision. But again, it's Cody. I generally trust his judgment and input on making things like that make sense, but we will see. As far as the Cena getting cheered thing, I think a lot of that was a product of the Vegas environment and recent
traveling booking. Fan and yep,
traveling fan, a lot of stuff like that. I was surprised by it. I thought that the audience would kind of give them the respect of going along for the ride, which I think Cena turned into a great talking point on Monday. He goes, he spun it as, I know you're patronizing me. I know you're just not cooperating like you've never cooperated, which I kind of dig that.
And with that fan base, I mean, it's the same reason Dom got cheered. Is he going to get cheered every week? No, but it's a different
maybe he
fan.
Will. Maybe he will.
You think so?
I think people are about to love Dominic. And BL says, do you think Netflix viewership is down as it's no longer appointment TV? And by the time you try to watch and catch up to all the spoilers, they're out on WWE YouTube. I think the weather's warming up a little bit here in the States. I think that there's other stuff going on. And I would like to see. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, sorry, there's less incentive to watch it live.
Yes, there's less incentive to watch it live. I did notice this week, though. For many people, and I realized it was only like half of people, they took away the live rewind button.
Oh,
and
really?
That is a pain in the ass. So what you boy did was log on to his NordVPN.com/Fightful, change my virtual location to Canada, and just got it back. So
interesting. I was going to say, yeah, because I got it. Interesting.
Yes, you got it. You got it. Guys, I want to say thank you all so much. This is, man, we've been on the air every day for like three straight weeks. And that's going to continue through this Saturday. I'll be back tonight for the post AEW Dynamite show. I will be in Indianapolis on Friday and Saturday for Squared Circle Expo. But really quickly, I want to thank Circa Las Vegas. They accommodated Joel. They were the official hotel of Fightful for WrestleMania week. There were lots of wonderful wrestlers and Shaza McKenzie hanging out at Stadium Swim during WrestleMania. Don't let that dissuade you. Don't let the fact that Shaza McKenzie was out there hanging out in a bikini dissuade you from going to Stadium Swim. It's a great place, a wonderful establishment. It's great. Joel Pearl said, wonderful host, excellent hotel. I mean, it was a wrestling fan that hooked us up with it too. And I got to say, I appreciate them. Out of all the tours that I did in January, the Circa Las Vegas one was one of my favorite ones, probably my favorite one there. But Joel did a lot of great work. If you guys haven't, check out our shorts tab here on Fightful and Fightful Scraps. We have a bunch of stuff there. We have just signed a deal with TikTok. We're going to be streaming there more. We're going to do more stuff on Instagram and Facebook. I believe Shandy's been working her ass off to get that Facebook thing rectified.
I think we're just about ready to go. Yeah, I think it's just about ready to go.
We're just about ready to go. We're going to sort of update the way that we approach things. Pavi Pants.
Faster says, website, potentially. Faster
website. We're going through a migration right now. And
might
says,
be Monday.
Ending. Oh, really? We're that close?
Yeah.
All right. Ending should have been Cena winning with all the dirty tactics. Poke to the eye. Hit on the penis. Hitting him with the belt. It didn't need Travis.
I agree.
I agree with that. Jimmy, I want to ask you, what did you think of my viral graphic from Saturday night? You didn't see it.
No,
Jimmy.
I don't think I've seen it. No, I can you only imagine. This was the Canvas special.
Oh, you're damn right. This was 683,000 views. Also, I want to thank this gentleman for all the help he has given us with our terribly built website.
Yeah. Logan, yes it is. Yes it is.
Logan is the man. This guy, listen, he has saved us so much trouble and fixed so many issues. This one, Jimmy.
Yeah, that's about right. I haven't seen that, but yeah. You have it. That used to be a Sean Ross Sapp catchphrase a long time ago.
Yeah. And there was this one that did also very good. Let me put it up there. This one did 525,000 views, Jimmy. Living Color still fucks. That weren't they great?
They were
incredible.
I couldn't help but notice when Punk was walking to the ring, he had their makeup all over his shirt. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
No, they were very good because they've been doing it now for, Jesus, 30 years?
Yeah.
So they're good.
Yeah, we also had one with Triple H's wax statue.
Oh, my goodness.
228,000 views.
Have you seen Total Recall, Sean?
I have not, but I know exactly what you mean.
Oh, yeah. Hunter was fighting Arnold on Mars. That was awful.
I mean, that one was this one.
Yeah. That one's kind of funny.
And then, I mean, and listen, I've heard from numerous people that these graphics are about. This one was the OG. This one's always going to be our first. I'm enjoying showing you these, Jimmy. I don't know if you've seen a lot of these.
Oh, I'm enjoying looking at them, Sean. I got nothing better to do. Like, I got to go get my kid in 2 minutes.
Yeah, I know. So. Mishin celebrated a birthday last week. I don't know if you knew that, but this is how we wished her happy birthday. We posted our wonderful partners at Bet Online had Ric Flair as the lowest rated or lowest odds to face Randy Orton. And that is because
I saw that too.
He's old. There were people acting like Jordan Grace was making less now on her TNA or than her TNA deal. So she got the not poor. I'm very proud of these. Listen, graphic design is my passion. I've worked very hard on the, in fact, to the point to where other people on our team have said, okay, I'm going to make one. And I say, no, you fucking don't.
Am I going to see Canva on your next invoice or how is that? Oh,
buddy, you ain't been paying attention to my invoices lately.
Oh, I guess not.
My invoice.
That's because there's too many line items, Sean. I get lost.
There is. Listen, student loan's about to start up. I'm about to ask for another line item, buddy.
All right, time for me to go. I got to get my kid.
Until next time, guys.
Good to see you, Sean.
Next time, guys, we're out.